Amen. All right. Well, we continue with the third message of this conference. I'd like to deeply impress the dear saints here that there are six messages, there's only one speaking.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
There's six brothers, there's only one mouth.
Amen.
That's how it is. And we love it. It's not a small thing in the Word that we would be able to have one mouth, speak the same thing, and even be thinking the same thing.
Amen.
Tonight, we brothers can testify from our heart, from our spirit, even from our conscience, that we are really one.
Amen.
And you have to have this confidence and trust in us that this is the case. So I'm here but speaking one of the six parts. I'm not here developing my own burden. I have no burden to do that kind of burden. My burden is just to continue the speaking from the last two messages and to open a way for the next three. Amen?
Amen.
I hope that you would all receive this word similarly. Now, tonight we come to a wonderful word, and this is indeed a burden very much on our hearts, and that is concerning the planting of church trees all over the earth. Well, I would just tell you something that I just heard on the way from Brother Albert. Albert, could you please come up, because I don't want to claim credit. Albert, come up. Albert, come on. So Albert and I, we were on our way coming up the escalators to this meeting. And so, of course, he realized that I'm going to speak about tree planting. So he told me something that I never knew, a piece of interesting history of Israel, modern Israel. And I want him to tell you that little story as a introduction.
Lord Jesus. Well, I was just in Israel a few weeks ago, and I never heard of this until this time, that when the nation of Israel was established in 1948, or even before that, one of the things that the Zionists and all those people that went back to that land and tried to do is to plant trees. You know, they went back to plant trees. That's why Ben-Gurion planted trees. All those, the nation's father, they plant trees. And even they ask for donation from this country, where the Jews who even doesn't go back there, they sent money so that tree could be planted. Because that land has been devastated for a long time, and they need trees to be cultivated again so that that land could be preserved. Today, if you go to Galilee, Upper Galilee, Lower Galilee, it's just green. Praise the Lord for this tree planting.
I almost can sit down now. This is so inspiring to me. I don't know what to say. I tell you, we are the real Israel.
Amen.
Right? Even the reformation of that nation in a miraculous way, 1948, we often, or at least brotherly often, use that as an illustration, as a parallel of the Lord's recovery today, that we have come back to this, the Holy Land. We have come back to the proper place or the proper ground to establish the Lord's testimony once more. Something that has been lost in Israel's case for 2,000 years. In the Lord's recovery's case, I don't know. But anyway, something that has been lost and now refounded. Now we have come to, in the Lord's recovery, one of the main work must be the same as those founders of modern Israel, and that is to what? To reforest this land.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
I tell you, dear saints, an earth, a country, a continent without churches is in the eyes of God desolate.
Amen.
It's a desert. It's empty. There's nothing, nothing of value to God if there is not the testimony of Himself in the form of a church. So we are here truly, brothers and sisters, the reforesters of God's land. Amen?
Amen.
I find that to be very, very touching. Anyway, let's with that as an introduction, let's get into this message. Now, tonight, this, although my burden will focus on Roman numeral 3, for sure, but we cannot get to Roman numeral 3 without Roman numeral 1 and 2. So you must not despise that. You do so at your own risk. All right? We cannot have a proper view of tree planting or church planting, as some people would say, without this organic, intrinsic view of what that is all about. Otherwise, I fear, we would just be doing what Christianity is doing. They also plant churches. In fact, they use that term, church planting, much like we do. What is the difference? I would say the difference is our vision. The difference is on the premise of what we are doing. So we must spend time on this. In fact, I urge you, brothers and sisters, don't jump to tree planting without Roman 1 and 2 concerning 1, the experience and enjoyment of the tree of life, and 2, the growth of that tree of life. Eventually, as you will see, we all have to become little trees of life. We actually are planting ourselves, and Christ is in us, and we are in Him. As we plant ourselves in this city or that, can we have the boldness to say that we're planting Christ? Because we are Christ. We are the reproduction of Christ. We are the increase of Christ. Do we have that boldness? Well, if you don't have this organic view, a view of life, you will not be able to say that. Church planting, sooner or later, will become just a movement to, so to speak, grow something. That we're not here for that. So, I must repeat for you this important title, subject, Experiencing and Enjoying Christ as the Tree of Life, number 1, Growing Christ as the Tree of Life, number 2, and then, Planting Church Trees, number 3, all of which are for the corporate expression of the triune God as life. Never forget that. Now, let us begin with the Tree of Life, this grandest subject in the whole Bible. Brother Lee, after he fell sick in 1940, 41, 42, with TB, almost nigh to death, after he got well, or during that time, we were told, the main revelation that the Lord granted to him was this revelation of the tree of life. And I tell you, of course, that is fully in line with God's purpose. That is fully in line, of course, with the ministry in the recovery led by Watchman Nee at the time. And I would say this matter of the tree of life had become a defining thing of the Lord's recovery. You know, today, by the way, I'm going to jump all over the place, if you would excuse me. You know, this, as we get into Roman 3, you will find that the lampstands is actually a tree. You know, the lampstand is a tree. That's what we're going to talk about. So when we plant churches, we're planting trees. And that tree is also a lampstand. That's how we're planting lampstands from city to city. Now, interestingly, today, Israel's emblem is the lampstand. You know, you go to, right, Israel? Even, I don't know whether the military or what, but anyway, the emblem is the lampstand. And I like this lampstand because it sounds like my name, Menorah. So after this message, I may change my name. You know, my name is often abused and misspelled and mispronounced. I don't even care about it anymore. And a lot of people actually call me Menorah. Tonight, if you call me Menorah, I'll say, praise the Lord. Just keep calling me Menorah. M-E-N-O-R-A-H. That is the Hebrew term for this candlestick, of this lampstand. I'm standing here as Menorah. I hope I am a little lampstand. I hope all of you are menorahs. All of you are little lampstands, a little life tree. Well, why am I talking about this? Because I just said that the tree of life should be our spiritual emblem in the Lord's recovery. We should never forget what that is. And I'm going to jump again. Sorry, it's like I couldn't wait to get to Romans 3. But that it is said by some Jewish people, scholars, whatever, that this lampstand, you know, this golden lampstand, could be a symbol of the burning bush. It is said that way. Today, some of the Presbyterian churches here and there, they actually have the burning bush as their emblem. A bush and a lot of fire on top of it. Some people actually say that this lampstand in the tabernacle, you know, in the holy place, is a sign or a memorial of that thorn bush. Now, I don't know whether that is true or not, but I think there's some justification for it. You see, that bush, burning bush, is God. And that's where God spoke from to Moses. Am I right? Of course, that bush refers to the redeemed humanity. I mean, that thorn bush refers to the redeemed humanity. But that fire surely refers to God. So God burning in the midst of a thorn bush, that means God glowing within man for his expression. You see? In fact, they have a Latin motto that says, I mean, these Presbyterian churches, that says, I wrote it down here somewhere. It says, let me see. Oh, it says this, listen. Burning but flourishing. That's the motto. Burning but flourishing. Isn't that wonderful? As we will see, the burning is the growing. The growing is the light. All of this is actually eventually the same thing. So I just insert a little something interesting for you. But I tell you, dear saints, listen to me. The tree of life is the center of the universe. All right? How do we say this? Well, we say it this way. This is all from Brother Lee. The center of the universe, I don't care how many times they fix the Hubble telescope, they will find nothing out there like the Earth. Point is, out of this billions of galaxies and ever growing, this piddly little ball in a piddly little system of a piddly little galaxy called the Milky Way got picked as the center where life exists. Now, I don't understand that. It's mind-boggling. It is what it is. You just say amen. Amen. So I don't care they send another Hubble up there and peek and shoot, whatever, they will not find anything like the Earth. I tell you, the Earth is the center of the universe. Amen. God ordained it that way. Now, The center of the earth is the Garden of Eden in Genesis. Okay? In Genesis. That's the center of the earth, is the Garden of Eden. And the center of the Garden of Eden is what? Right there, the Tree of Life. So we can say the Tree of Life is the center of the universe as God would have it. Now, this Tree of Life is God's way of using a figure to signify something so incredibly mysterious and deep that the human mind can never grasp in words. So a picture is better than 1,000 words. So God would use a figure of that Tree of Life to convey to us in one fell swoop what is his heart's desire, what is his heart's intent, what is his eternal purpose. What is it? The Tree of Life is a figure signifying God in Christ to be our life. Of course, in the form of food. Never forget this. I mean, that is one deep and mysterious statement. Right there in that one statement is God's economy. God's desire to be our life cannot be adequately expressed in words, in human words. Therefore, in Genesis 2:9, God gave us a figure of this Tree of Life to signify his divine desire. So never, never forget the Tree of Life. Love that tree. Amen? Amen? Amen. Eat that tree. Amen. Never let that tree out of your sight. Amen. Or even out of your mouth. Amen. Now, let us come to Romans 1. For the universal spreading of the church, that is the burden of this conference, as the testimony of Jesus, we need to experience and enjoy Christ as the Tree of Life. So I mentioned Genesis 2:9 already. That is in the beginning of the Bible. Right there, right at the beginning, the tree showed up. The tree was in place, right in the beginning. After man was created, he was put in front of that tree, nothing else. Not to do this, not to do that. Just come into the presence of that tree and don't eat wrongly. That means eat this tree. Revelation 2:7, the end, the other end of the Bible. There, of course, this is in the epistle to Ephesus, there was a promise, right? To those who overcome, that I will give to him to eat of the tree of life. Whereas in Genesis, the word is tree, the word in Revelation, in the original language, is the word wood. Much similar to the word in 1 Peter 2:24. The word wood here, is used for a particular reason. Because this wood actually implies the cross. And so you have here this tree of life, this wood of life, referring to the crucified and resurrected Christ, the process Christ, or rather the process God, who is now today in Christ, and this Christ is today in the church to be the life of his believers. Brothers and sisters, do you not believe we are living in the Garden of Eden?
I mean,
this place is a garden. This place is paradise. You may not think so. I tell you, the church life is paradise. This is, by extension, the center of the universe. How can you leave this place, right? Why? Not because of us, because that tree is here. That tree is right here. Not a small thing. This tree is not only in the midst of the church life in this age. But this tree is promised to all those who overcome in this age as a reward of a special enjoyment in the coming millennial kingdom. God promised a tree as a reward. How about that? The enjoyment of Himself is our reward in that 1,000 years. And finally, consummately, in the new heaven and the new earth, there would be the new Jerusalem. And in this new Jerusalem, which is really the expanded, eternal, unmeasurable, and large paradise, Garden of Eden, is the tree of life growing on the banks of the river of the water of life. And that tree will forever, with its riches, supply all the constituents in that city. That's you and I. Maintaining it, supplying it, sustaining it forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, for eternity, we will be consuming the tree of life. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And don't forget this Christ. This tree is simply the incarnated, crucified, resurrected Christ. He is our enjoyment today. Okay, let's go on to A. The tree of life in Genesis 2:9 signifies the triune God embodied in Christ as life to man in the form of food. Isn't this wonderful? In the form of food, not in the form of injection. You'll still get in there, but it's a little too painful. But food is enjoyment. That means God is delicious. He likes to be eaten. He is edible. B, we may experience Christ as the tree of life in our regenerated spirit. The church, the kingdom, the new Jerusalem, and all spiritual and heavenly things issue from the experience of the tree of life. Is there any doubt to that? I tell you, every single experience we have as a believer issues from our experience of that tree. Just think about that statement for a moment. Without that tree, there's nothing. There's no such thing called Christian experience without that tree, without enjoying that tree. Similarly, everything in the church, everything in God's kingdom, everything in the New Jerusalem, in all these three different ages, as well as all spiritual and heavenly things, everything, brothers and sisters, start from eating that tree. So every day we need to eat that tree again. Just eat that tree. Just eat it. Just enjoy Him. I tell you, so many things will issue out all the way to the New Jerusalem. See, eating the tree of life, that is, enjoying Christ as our life supply, should be the primary matter in the church life. That's our emblem. More than an emblem, that should be what? Our primary exercise, our primary thing to do is always eating. We're an eating people, aren't we? We just love to eat. I've been to that Reading Market 2 times already. I love to just walk along those aisles because it's all stuff to eat. And I just get, I don't know what to do. I like to stop at every stall and get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Let me tell you, that is a poor example of the church. The church is much richer than Reading Market. Amen. This is the Garden of Eden. Amen. Everywhere you turn, every lane you walk in, there is the tree of life growing there. Amen. Right? Amen. And the fruit is for us to eat. Okay, number one, for the church life, we need to eat Christ as the tree of life. Two, all the aspects of the all-inclusive Christ revealed in the Gospel of John are the outcome of the tree of life. These references to Christ as the heavenly ladder, to Christ as the bridegroom of the bride, to Christ as the bread that came down from the heavens, to Christ as the light of the world, to Christ as that good shepherd, to Christ eventually as the way. All these aspects of the all-inclusive Christ in the Gospel of John are somehow associated with life. They're the outcome, actually, of the tree of life. He is all these things because he can be life to us. And we partake of these aspects of Christ in the way of enjoying him as a tree. Just eat that tree, saints. Just eat that tree, and you will enjoy all these rich items. Three, the content of the church life depends on the enjoyment of Christ. The more we enjoy him, the richer the content will be. Nothing will enrich your church or my church, meeting life, serving life, whatever it may be, like what? Like our enjoyment of him. You know, you go to a church, it's kind of dry, it's kind of dead, this kind of thing. You can make a conclusion, there's a lack in the diet. There's a shortage of eating of that tree. If all the saints are eating that tree, almost everything will be okay. And the church will be filled with content. Our content, dear saints, in the church life is not prosperity, right? Is not what? Positive thinking, right? Is not any of this New Age stuff. Our content in the church is life. Amen. And that comes from our eating of the tree of life. Four, to enjoy Christ as the tree of life requires that we love him with the first love. To give the Lord the first place in all things is to love him with the first love, the best love. Here, in the epistle to Ephesus, in chapter 2 of Revelation, they got a lot of good works, but they have to repent for one thing, and that is somehow they left their best love, their first love towards the Lord. And you know what the Lord says? If you don't repent, I will remove the lampstand from you. Now, in the context of tonight's message, that lampstand is the tree. Of course, it refers to the Lord's testimony. We know that. But I tell you, my, if you don't love the Lord, you will miss that tree. In fact, the promise to the overcomers is, I will give them to eat of the tree. Dear brothers and sisters, let us be a recovery that loves the Lord with our first love. Amen. Shall we? I would say even this weekend, let us give the Lord a new love vow. Amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. Amen. Can we say that? Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you the best. We love you with the first love. I tell you, when we love the Lord like this, life will be ours spontaneously. I tell you, love and life can never be separated. The more you love the Lord, actually in that loving is your partaking of him as your life. There's no greater way, no more excellent way to enjoy this Christ than love, than the way of love. Let's love the Lord. Young people, you say this, you say that. I tell you, it all starts with you losing your love or losing your best love. Come back to it. Love is the safest thing. Love does it all. Just love him and you will enjoy him as your life. D, in Revelation 22, 1 and 2, there is the river of water of life and the tree of life. Because the tree of life is in the water of life, the way to enjoy the tree of life is to drink the water of life. I don't need to expound on that. the tree and the water, the food and the drink, they're intertwined. The way to enjoy the tree is to drink the water. Therefore, with joy, shall we draw water from the wells of salvation. And we will what? We will call upon His name. O Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus. There's no better way to drink that river. And when you drink that river, you will eat that tree. Love Him and call on His name. Two, the essence of the tree of life. Oh, I read that already. E, the principle of the tree of life is dependence on God. I like this. The experience and enjoyment of the tree of life causes us to be dependent on God. You know, food, eating, is what? Is a total picture of dependency. Am I right? We have to build up a divine dependence, not a chemical dependence, but a divine dependence, that we just depend on Him to live, even every moment. Even every moment. We can hardly stand, we can hardly breathe, we can hardly think, we can hardly do another thing without the Lord. I mean, the more you touch life, the more you eat this tree, a sign that you are such a person is your utter dependence on Christ. You just, I tell you, eventually, the more mature you become, you come to a stage, you can hardly even lift a finger without Christ. This doesn't mean you cannot lift a finger, but your deep realization is that even lifting a finger depends on Christ. Isn't that something? That is the real maturity of life. And that is what eating this tree will make us. This is the principle. As opposed to eating that other tree, that tree of knowledge of good and evil, the more you eat that tree, the more independent you will become. The more you don't need God. You don't need God, right? What is this hall here called? Independence Hall? Let us erect a dependence hall. Amen. I tell you, the church is dependence hall. Amen. Amen? Amen? We declare every day to God, God, we depend on You. Amen. We cannot breathe another breath without You. You are our tree of life. Okay, F, the Lord wants to recover the church back to the beginning. This is about the Lord's recovery. What is the Lord's recovery? It is to come back to the beginning. What is the beginning? The beginning is the eating of the tree of life. This is the consummate recovery. Back to eat that tree. Not just to recover head covering, recover foot washing, recover, you know, these outward things. No, the ultimate recovery is to be recovered back to nothing but that tree as our sole diet, as our only food. That is the consummate recovery. Only that recovery will bring forth the New Jerusalem. Now let's come to Romans 2. For the universal spreading of the church as the testimony of Jesus, we need to grow Christ as the tree of life within us. Now we come to a further concept, not just of enjoyment, but of growth. This is very important. This is a very important link to Roman numeral 3. You see, Christ not only came into us as a food, He did, of course, but because He is the tree of life, and when we eat Him, He actually came into us as a tree. Have you ever heard such a thing? Eat that tree. That means you got a tree in you. You don't just get a bite of something. By the way, people still think that is an apple. I don't know where they got that idea. Well, the Bible never says apple for sure. Okay. Anyway, I don't know. This tree of life, you not only eat the fruit of it, you eat that tree. You know what happens when you got saved and regenerated? Christ as a tree got planted in you. What do you call that little tree? Sapling? What do you call it? Sapling? Sapling. It's not just a seed. Yes, the Bible elsewhere says a seed came into you. That's for sure. But in another sense, you can say a sapling of a little tree of life got into your spirit. And it begins to grow. Aha. That little tree of life begins to grow the day you were saved, the day you were regenerated. It's really true. And the whole Christian life is the growth of that tree in us. That tree is growing. So all the time we need to water it. We need to, you know what I mean? We need to, Paul says, I planted, right? And Apollos watered. God will give the growth to that little tree, and will branch out from your spirit into your mind, your emotion and will. Eventually it will branch out even into your body. You will then become a little tree. Christ, as the embodiment of God, is our tree of life, and this tree is growing in us. B. God in Christ has sown himself into our spirit as the life seed to grow a tree, a miniature of the tree of life. There's a miniature tree in you, my spirit and your spirit. All right? Our spirit is the best soil, is the God-ordained soil for the tree of life. Somehow that tree takes in that soil. Right? Not Ben Gurion. God is the first tree planter. Right? Okay, see, in Genesis 2:9, the tree of life was unique, but today the tree of life grows in all of us, causing each one of us to be a small tree of life. As small trees of life, we need to grow in life. Now, the concept here is very important. As I said, when this tree grows in us, that growth will cause us to become also that tree. Right? Just like when Christ grows in us, it will grow and spread and increase and make home and enlarge himself in our being. That means he will permeate us. He will saturate us. He will become one with us. He will even be fully incorporated, mingle and blended with us. Eventually, we would become him, and he would become us. So, this concept is the same. When Christ as the tree of life grows within us, eventually, we will become a little tree of life. Do I look like a life tree here? Right? You know, you draw a stick man, it looks like a tree, right? As small little trees of life, we need to grow in life. Brothers and sisters, think about it. We are all walking trees. In this room, there are 2,200 walking trees. This is quite a tree farm here. Every 2 feet is a tree. Isn't that wonderful? That's how God looks at things. Now, all these little trees have to grow. Lord Jesus, grow in me.
Amen.
Oh, tree of life, grow in me.
Amen.
Now, you cannot just sing that song, the tree of life, how sweet the fruit. We need to write another song about that tree needing to grow in us. All right? Okay, now, with that as a basis, we can now come to Romans 3. Romans 3 says, for the universal spreading of the church as the testimony of Jesus, we need to plant church trees for the corporate expression of the triune God as life. Now, I think that phrase is very easy to apprehend to plant church trees. So we're going to establish new local churches. You're correct. That's exactly what it means. But let us look into the details a little bit to increase our appreciation and also to give weight to our work in this very matter. All right? Okay. In the eyes of God, the universal church, the body of Christ, has been formed. You all know this. By the resurrected Christ breathing himself as the breath of life, the holy breath, into his disciples on the night of resurrection. And 50 days later, on the day of Pentecost, by this ascended Christ pouring that spirit, the same spirit, economically on to his disciples, his believers, number one, or A. B, in the house of Cornelius, pouring the spirit out again, the only two places where the proper baptism of the spirit is mentioned in the book of Acts. Baptizing now the Jews and the Gentiles in one spirit, into one body, and by that one act, once and for all, universally, the body of Christ, the church, was formed. No one can form the church. This job belongs to the head, Christ. He alone can form the church, and he did 2,000 years ago. So the church was formed already. Now, after the formation of this universal church as a complete entity, there is the need for the spreading of the church. Okay? Now we're talking about in time and in space, locally, place by place. This formed church, this formed body of Christ, has to spread. And the way to spread this church is to bring this church to certain locality and plant it. Are you with me? Don't go and start a church. You have no right. It's been started already. It's been formed. We just bring the form and start a church to a locality and plant it there. This is the real establishment of a local church, and this is the real spread of the church. Here again is the concept of what? Of the church as a tree to be planted in every city and town and village and what have you. Now, today, brothers and sisters on this earth, this is what the Lord wants to do. When we talk about the spread of the Lord, when we talk about the move of God, primarily, this is what we mean. That is to go forth and preach the gospel of Christ, the word of the truth, the gospel of salvation, with the result of planting churches as trees in new localities, therefore covering this earth with local churches as the testimony of Jesus. This is the move of the Lord. This is our commission. This is our testimony. This is what the apostles did. And this is what we are doing today. The local churches are established, not formed. The apostle Paul could not plant a church, or could plant a church, and Apollos could water it, but it was God alone who formed it and gave it life, and it is God who gives it growth. Two, the way to spread the church and to establish the church is to bring it to a certain locality and plant it. I mentioned that already. Isn't this quite a commission? I have this picture in my mind that I'm holding this tree, this little precious tree. And I'm going to another city to plant it there. How about that? Forget about Christmas tree, right? Forget about all this junk. I tell you, this tree of little tree of life. This, I tell you, this church, this form church, this lampstand, as we will see, we will plant it in this city and that town and that place. Friends, sisters, I tell you, there's no better employment than that. Hire me on as a church planter. I tell you, dear saints, this is our real job. Your job, your secular job, is not your real work. Your real work is a church planter, a gospel preacher, a fruit bearer. That's this morning. Tonight I add a church planter. Of course, we don't do it alone. We do it in coordination, as message one so clearly instructed us. All right? Amen? But have the idea, dear saints, of planting. Would you? Are you ready to go and plant? Well, I'm already jumping ahead. At the end of this message, I'm going to mention 100 places that in the U.S. that need a church tree. You can have your pick. How about that? Is our life, what is our life for, dear saints? Just to make more bucks, which turns into nothing these days? What is our real vocation? What is our calling? What is our commission from the Lord? Brothers and sisters, to plant church trees. To plant Himself in the soils of man. In so many places on the earth. B, although we cannot form the church, we have the position, the right, the opportunity, and even the commission to go to the uttermost part of the earth to establish local churches. We have the position, right, opportunity, and commission to do this. My. I just came back from Vancouver, Canada, BC, and there I talked to a brother who is involved with Bibles for Canada. He said they have been giving out so many Bibles in Canada, and they have just found out that the recovery version has reached the Arctic Circle. Somewhere in the tundra, someone is studying the recovery version. And I joked, we're going to have some igloo meetings. Not home meetings, but igloo meetings. We'll be in the ice, having a home meeting, studying the ministry. How about that? Amen. It may be a little fishing village of 100 people. There will be a little tree there. Amen. Amen?
Amen?
What's wrong with that picture, dear saints? Dear saints, this is what our life is about. I really feel we all need to, this weekend, must tell the Lord, Lord, now I know what I'm here on the earth for. Now I know why I'm in the recovery. Not for anything, but for your universal spread. Amen. For the testimony of Jesus. Amen. To cover this earth. Oh, saints, get this burden. Please, receive this burden. D, the local churches as church trees are golden lampstands, which are actually living... Oh, I jumped over something. Oh, C. What we are doing today is simply establishing churches in different localities by planting church trees. This planting of church trees is the establishing of the church. Please don't come into town and say, I'm so-and-so. I'm apostle so-and-so. And I'm here to establish a church. You five, follow me. We're going to establish a church. And I'm the apostle. So that means I have to say. Whatever I say counts. This is the church I establish. Is that the way you're going to spread the Lord's recovery? Forget about it. I'd rather have five saints all bringing one church tree. A little tree. They're nobody. They're not apostle this or that. They are just lampstand bearers and tree planters. They just happen to have a real tree of life that's been growing in their being. Amen?
Amen.
And the Lord send them by the north wind to this little place. And all they have is this tree. They may get a job. They may get an apartment. But really, they're coming here to plant a tree.
Amen.
And the world doesn't even know it. The next morning, that city folks still don't know what went on, but a tree got planted last night.
Amen.
Dear saints, don't have that kind of Christianity concept. This, that. I tell you, we need more tree planters. Those would bring themselves as the tree of life and Christ as the tree of life, as the testimony to everywhere. Amen?
Amen.
D, the local churches as the tree, church trees are golden lampstands, which are actually living golden trees. You know, you read Revelation 1, you read the lampstands. Then you have an idea, the lampstands look like that. Actually, with the help of the ministry, we have gotten into the lampstand that was the first lampstand that was made. That is Exodus 25. And how that lampstand was specified. You know, to build anything, you need specs. And I tell you, if you read that carefully, it's all botanical specs, not mechanical specs. Are you following me? The makeup of the lampstand is all in botanical language. It's all organic language. About what? About branches. About knobs. About blossoms. About, calyx, the bottom. You know, the flower, you know, has the bottom. That is the calyx, and then you have the petals, and that is the blossom, am I right? The lampstand is specced by God with these terms, botanical. It's a tree. That is not a stand, that is a tree stand. God was specking out a tree, except it's made in gold. By the way, that is one of the few items, along with the laver, that has no dimensions. That means this tree is unlimited. This tree is eternal. But anyway, it weighs a lot, one talent, 100 pounds. It's a heavy tree. It's a solid tree. Now, listen. The golden lampstands, don't have the idea it's some dead object. The golden lampstands, you must now have your mind renewed by the word of God, is a tree stand. It is actually, they're living golden trees. When God says the seven golden lampstands are the seven local churches, he meant the seven golden trees are the seven golden, are the seven local churches. The churches are trees. I came from the tree in Irvine. You're not responding. There's a tree in Philadelphia. You are from the tree in Dallas. How about that? We're all in trees. We're tree folks. These lampstands are living things, organic plants. It's a tree. Okay? Okay, here. The golden lampstands signify the local churches as the reproduction of Christ and the reprint of the Spirit. Now, I don't have the time. Please get into the ministry. Here, three passages are mentioned, Exodus 25, Zechariah 4, and Revelation 5, or rather, and Revelation 1. Okay, briefly speaking, these three passages reveal the three stages of the lampstands in the Scriptures. All right? Exodus, right? The lampstand in Exodus 25 signifies Christ. I'm not going to take time to elaborate. You just remember that. Signifies Christ, who is the incarnation of God, who is the embodiment of God. The lampstand in Zechariah 4 symbolizes the Spirit. This Spirit is the reality of Christ. The first lampstand is the embodiment of God. The second lampstand is the reality of Christ. Then, the lampstands in Revelation 1 signifies the local churches. And these local churches are simply the reproduction, or we use the word reprint, of the Spirit. So there you have it. What is the lampstand? If we can glean the definition from these three passages, the lampstand in the Bible refers to the triune God embodied in Christ, realized as the Spirit, and reproduced as the local churches. That is the testimony of Jesus. Do you follow me? You have to read all three. And Brother Lee said he didn't see this until 1975. This is a new light. This is a new light. And this is the lampstand. So lampstand is not some denomination you set up. It is what? Follow me. God embodied in Christ, realized as the Spirit, right? And what? Reproduced as what? As the church, or the local churches. That is the testimony of Jesus, and that is the real meaning of a lampstand. This is what we spread. This is what we plant. Please don't plant anything foreign. Please don't plant anything else. Plant this tree. Okay, two, in figure, the golden lampstand signifies the church as the embodiment and expression of the triune God. All right? The church as the embodiment and expression of the triune God. That's the church. Number three, as saints in the local churches, we are all parts of a wonderful golden tree. I love this. Hallelujah. I am part of a wonderful golden tree in Irvine. Right? You're part of a wonderful golden tree in Albuquerque.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We all belong to a wonderful golden tree somewhere. Okay? Now, four, the symbol of the golden lampstand indicates that the triune God is a living tree, growing, budding, and blossoming, and the description of the lampstand conveys the idea of growth. All right, so I don't have the time, but very quickly in stick drawing way, you know, stick way. So here, actually the lampstand is like this. Okay? What does that look like? A tree. This is a tree stand. The lampstand is a tree, right? It has a base, solid base. It has a stalk, right, solid, which refers to Christ. And it has three pairs of branches. They're called branches. They're not called members, you know, or whatever. They're posts. They're called branches, right? And these three branches go out this way, and of course, they have these knobs right here, and there's four over here, and then three each over here. I don't have time anyway, just like that. Okay? And so this is really a tree growing, right? They all grow up from these knobs, right? And then it grows, and then it grows, and it grows, and it grows. It's not even a stationary tree, lampstand. It's a growing tree. You know, all the lampstand, all the local churches should be growing. Not always the same 8-10 years later. It should be growing because it's a living thing. And it's growing, it's budding, it's blossoming. Okay? And this idea of growth is a very, very strong idea. Now, eventually, listen to me, look, this growth, they grow and grow and grow and grow, okay? And it grows to the end. What is at the end of that growth? Sorry for my poor drawing, but that means fire, huh? That means flame. I tell you, at the tip of the growth is flame. That means, and flame give off light. You know, in Ephesians chapter 5:9, in Galatians 5:22, it says the fruit of the Spirit. But in Ephesians 5:9, it says the fruit of light. That means light is the fruit of this tree. This tree bears fruit, and that fruit is light. And that light is the testimony. Do you see this? Now, of course, in this there's oil and this and that. I don't have the time. But just from the shape, from this stand alone, you can see that what this eventually, the growth of these branches, this growth of light, blossoms with light. It blossoms with light. So in all the local churches, there should be that reality of growth and eventually of blossoming, and the light shines in that blossoming. And the fruit simply is the shining. You know, it says the fruit, this fruit of life is goodness, righteousness, and truth. I tell you, the divine attributes expressed in our human virtues is the light, is the fruit of light of a local church. All right? You follow me. Okay. A, the lampstand is growing through the branches and within them. This indicates that Christ is growing in us. These branches are growing. That means Christ is growing in us. B, it is crucial for all the branches to give the lampstand a free way to grow in them and through them. This morning, in Brother Andrew sharing John 15, we see that we are all branches. Amen? And as just such branches, we have to abide in Him and He in us, so that, number one, we would grow. We would grow. And number two, we would grow to bear fruit. To bear fruit. Now, this morning, he was talking about persons as fruit. And that is very, very important. Here, you also have the what? Our virtues, our living, our Christian conduct as such fruit, as such testimony. We need to let the Lord grow in us. The more the lampstand grows, the more it will blossom and shine, and the more light there will be. You know, you come to some churches, my, you come into their midst, there is just an unspeakable light there, exposing you, shining over you. Nobody even know your history. Nobody know you at all. You're a stranger. But I tell you, you touch the light there. There's even intense light there because of the growth of life. You go to some other places, you go there, it's just dark. Even you are not so dark, you get darkened. That happens too. There's no growth. There's a stoppage, you see, of growth. Dear saints, we need to grow. Okay? In all our churches. But we also need to plant. these church trees. So number five, to plant a church tree is to establish a local church as a golden lampstand. Now you know. E, our burden is to bring the church as a tree to every city, town, and village and plant a church there. Could you please all read that? Our burden is to bring the church as a tree to every city, town, and village, and plant a church there. Now, I'd like to go back a little bit here. I have a few minutes here to tell you, just go through briefly how this church tree spread in the days of the apostles in the early church. Firstly, this tree was planted in Jerusalem. That's ground zero. All right? In Jerusalem. That was planted there. The first tree ever existed was planted. The formed church was planted in Jerusalem. But the Lord does not want it to be in Jerusalem. He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, right? And in what? Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. That means the Lord does not want to remain in ground zero. The Lord wants to spread to the uttermost part of the earth. So, that one tree cannot stay where it is. In fact, the Lord raised up certain persecution to force that tree to be transplanted elsewhere. And that is the first migration of the saints from the church in Jerusalem to Samaria and beyond. So the next move, the next spread by in the tree planting was to the provinces, you know, that is the Roman Empire. A lot of provinces were mentioned. This is the concept of spreading, much like our states in America today. It's to Judea, all of Judea, not just that's where Jerusalem is, but even in all of Judea. And then in Samaria, and then in Galilee. All right? But the Lord doesn't even want to stop there. Now, after Stephen's martyrdom, that word of his martyrdom spread. And it impacted a lot of people. Because of the persecution, the disciples went far away. And the church got carried there. The little church trees got carried there. The testimony of Jesus got carried to the provinces of Phoenicia, to Syria, even to the island of Cyprus, and of course to Antioch, which is in Syria, all right? And there, a new center of the Lord's work began. Then it says it continued to spread from Syria to Cilicia, okay? And then from there on, it spread all throughout the whole Asia Minor, which is Turkey today, to the provinces of Galatia. Later on, you have the churches in all of Galatia. And then to Asia Minor. All seven local churches are in Asia, the province of Asia, including, right, all those seven churches. Then the Lord called for a turn in that Macedonian call to the Apostle Paul to turn and cross the sea to Europe. And it landed in the province, firstly, of Macedonia with the first church, first tree in Philippi. And then on to Thessalonica. And then to the province of Achaia, where Corinth and Sancrea resides. And then it went on further still, later on, to what? It jumped over the sea to Italy, where you have the church in Rome. Am I right? Do you see, brothers and sisters, that I tell you, the Lord does not want the tree to stay in one place. It wants it to be planted in many, many places. In those days, they did not have airplanes. They did not have all the conveniences we have, right? They have boats, they have feet. And I tell you, they spread. They spread. I tell you, to remain in one place is not the mind of the Lord. To stay in one place is not the mind of God. God wants to spread. The earth is the Lord's. God wants to spread throughout the whole earth by His people, by us. Dear saints, if we don't go, how can the Lord spread? If the apostles didn't go, how can the Lord spread? Eventually, even Dalmatia, which is today's Yugoslavia, right? And to faraway places. And today, the Lord's gospel is everywhere. Dear saints, we need to spread. The Lord's recovery must spread. There's so many places on this earth where there is not a tree there, where there's not a testimony there. Let me finish. One, we all need to be faithful to carry out the burden to establish local churches by planting church trees. Let's do it until the Lord comes back. Even some of us, we cannot even plant one church tree. We have to move on to plant another tree and another tree as the Lord leads and as the fellowship would guide in His body. Number two, the married couple should be like Prisca and Aquila. Do we have couples here? We're getting even more couples now from the ranks of the young adults. I would say young adults, or actually I call you adults, you're not that young anymore. You should what? You should follow the example of Prisca and Aquila, a couple who planted a church tree wherever they went. You put me here, a tree will grow there. You put me there, a tree will grow up there. They just bring the church tree wherever they went. Wherever they were willing to bear the burden of the practice of the church by opening up their home. How about that? You don't need to buy a meeting hall. You need a home, and there you can have the church life beginning. Now let me give a strong footnote. After this meeting, you should not just run out and say, now I am an official church tree planter. No one can stop me now. I go wherever I want and I'll start churches everywhere. We're in a race now. I tell you, that has happened. We're not for that. We're not in any rivalry. We're not in any competition. We're not doing any of these in a natural way. In fact, don't do that. You know what you need to do after this meeting? You need to pray. And pray specifically, Lord, where do you want me to plant a church tree? When? Where? How? I'm in your hands. I'm in the body. I'm in the coordination. I'm part of that great wheel. I'm not here to be independent or individualistic. I'm not here to be a self-proclaimed apostle. I am just one of the members with a burden. And in the coordination, Lord, send me. Unsettle me. Tomorrow we'll talk about it. Unsettle me. I'm ready. I'm movable. I'm mobile. I'm not set, settle, and occupy. I'm ready to go. Amen?
Amen?
This should be our culture. This should be our lifestyle. We should be a moving people, a church planting culture, right? Okay, let me read three. If we all have the desire to establish churches by planting church trees, the establishing of the churches will be very fast and prevailing. Brother Lee said that. Fast and prevailing. Well, we must admit that at least in this country, the spread of the Lord's recovery of planting church trees has been somewhat slow compared to some other countries that Brother Andrew gave you testimonies about. Didn't that incite you? You know, it incited me in a very positive way. Lord, do something here. Now, I know this word is not just for America. This word is for all the saints and all the churches on the earth. But we're in America, right? And quite fittingly, we're in Philadelphia. All right? Tonight, I asked the brothers, I have a burden because We have been hearing in the last few messages, 250 churches is not enough. You agree? The Lord's recovery, as of last year, if you count the day Brother Lee set his foot in this country, 50 years, half a century. To this day, there's only 250 churches in America. Now, I don't know how many churches there should be, but Andrew told us there's 10,000 places that are registered as cities, whatever that means. There ought to be more than 250. Amen?
Amen.
And tonight I would say, how about we start with reproducing ourselves with another 250? Amen. We start there. How about that?
Amen.
We'd like there to be 1,000. But let's start with another 250.
Amen.
Shall we?
Amen.
How about 500 churches in America?
Amen.
Do you like to see that?
Amen.
You want to forest this country?
Amen.
With golden lampstands?
Amen.
Some large, some small? It should be that way. Young people, I challenge you. Don't live for anything. Live for this.
Amen.
This is meaningful. Very meaningful. I started to do this when I was your age, age 26. Started to get out, move, plant churches. Right? Now tonight, I mean, even if we want to do 250 churches, if we want to accomplish in 10 years, we need to raise up 25 churches per year. 10 years nonstop. How will we do this? Pray, brothers and sisters. Pray. I really mean pray. Now tonight, I have compiled of the 250, 100 cities. The first 100 cities. All right? I'm going to read it off to you. 100 cities. I have 5 minutes. I'm going to read it to you. Now, this is not to say tomorrow we'll go to this place or that place. Don't come up to us and say, when are we going there? We don't know yet. But I still like to mention these cities. And these cities that I'm going to read off are not randomly taken. They are all cities, important cities, especially with a big fishing pond there, called a university or a campus or a college. Therefore, they're strategic cities. And these cities does not count all the cities where there are local churches now, or places where we are not quite sure about that situation. These are places where, to the best of our knowledge, if we are wrong, don't be offended, come and correct us. But these are places we like to see with churches there. Amen?
Amen.
I'm bringing this to another practical level. And I'm not going to give it any priority, so I'm going to do it alphabetically by state. Auburn, Alabama. Montgomery, Alabama. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Fairbanks, Alaska. Amen?
Amen.
Fairbanks need a tree.
Amen.
This tree will not freeze. Flagstaff, Arizona. Mesa, Arizona. Fayetteville, Arkansas. Maybe there's a church there, I'm not very sure. Jonesboro, Arkansas. Chico, California. Modesto, California. Monrovia, California. Oceanside, California. Santa Cruz, California. Simi Valley, California. Visalia, California, Azusa, California, and Oakland, California. There's a church there. There's a church in Oakland, California. Boulder, Colorado. Now, there's Colorado Springs. There's a church life there now in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Greeley, Colorado. Stores, Connecticut. I don't even know where that is. I was going to say New Haven, but actually there's a meeting in New Haven in Connecticut where Yale is. Newark, Delaware. Tallahassee, Florida. Marietta, Georgia. Savannah, Georgia. Valdosta, Georgia. Pearl City, Hawaii. This tree will not melt there. Twin Falls, Idaho. DeKalb, Illinois. Peoria, Illinois. Bloomington, Indiana. Indianapolis, Indiana. Maybe there's something there now. Ames, Iowa. Iowa City. I think there's a church there in Iowa. Lawrence, Kansas. Manhattan, Kansas. I didn't tell you the universities. These are big universities. Topeka, Kansas. Lexington, Kentucky. New Orleans, Louisiana. Maine, Portland. Portland, Maine. Baltimore, Maryland. Columbia, Maryland. Amherst, Massachusetts. East Lansing, Michigan. Halton, Michigan. Troy, Michigan. Mankato, Minnesota. Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Oxford, Mississippi. Starkville, Mississippi. Columbia, Missouri. Bozeman, Montana. Lincoln, Nebraska. I think there's a church there. Omaha, Nebraska. Carson City, Nevada. Reno, Nevada. I think there's a little tree there. Durham, New Hampshire. You have a church in Piscataway, New Jersey already. Trenton, New Jersey. Las Cruces, New Mexico. Binghamton, New York. Stony Brook, New York. Syracuse, New York. Durham, North Carolina. Wilmington, North Carolina. Fargo, North Dakota. Athens, Ohio. Oxford, Ohio. That's where Miami University is in Ohio. Jenks, Oklahoma. Medford, Oregon. Corvallis has a church there. Redmond, Oregon. Salem, Oregon. Allentown, Pennsylvania. Harrisburg, Hershey, Pennsylvania. State College, Pennsylvania. Penn State. Providence. Oh, you have the church in Providence already. Clemson, South Carolina. Columbia, South Carolina. Vermilion, South Dakota. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Knoxville, Tennessee. Maybe there's a church there. Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Amarillo, Texas. McAllen, Texas. Logan, Utah. Ogden, Utah. Provo, Utah. Burlington, Vermont. Blacksburg, Virginia. Richmond, Virginia. Virginia Beach, Virginia. Everett, Washington. Olympia, Washington. Renton, Washington. The Tri-Cities of Washington. Yakima, Washington. Morgantown, West Virginia. Green Bay, Wisconsin. And Laramie, Wyoming. How about this? That's only the first 100. It's only the first 100. Dear Saints, and also, I tell you, there are a lot of places nearby the current cities where the churches are that saints are already residing there, right? They can also become little lampstands in time, right? With the proper shepherding and so on. Brothers and sisters, let me say a final word. Having said all of this, we are not here again to stir up just a church planting movement. There's a deep and heavy burden within the brothers, we believe within the Lord, at least for America, that the Lord would really spread his testimony in many more places in the coming years. The Lord has done so much already in so many other countries marvelously. Russia, am I right? Europe, right? India, Mexico, Central America, right? Different parts of Asia, the Lord is spreading so marvelously. We have to take care of business in our own backyard. We have to forest this country. We have to plant the tree of life. The tree of life in many, many places for the testimony of Jesus. I hope the burden is discharged. And now I stop. Now I think we can have some testimonies now. I beg you all to pray about this. The first thing is not to do something. The first thing is to pray and even continue to pray. When we were in Taiwan, the full-time training in FTTT, they put up a big map on the wall and the saints would put a dot, a little flag with their name on a place. Now they may not end up in this place eventually, but that indicates a burden. I think if the Lord so lead, the Lord may lead you to put a dot in your spirit on some place. Don't say it is impossible. Pray. Pray, brothers and sisters, and pray in a continuous and steadfast way.